I want to speak to Kevin, who's got a point that he wants to make. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Kevin. Kevin, you got in touch with us. What's on your mind?
Well, Frank, myself and my wife and her sister were regular walkers on the Black Mountain, Devis Mountain. And over this past few years, the wife and her sister have developed a bit of a fear of the cattle in and around the mountain. And I always put it just down to nothing's ever going to happen. They're over-exaggerating. But on Sunday morning, we were up the mountain. And we came down about 3/4 of the way around the ridge walk, and there was a cow on the footpath. And we could see a calf in a short distance away from it. And we heeded the advice, you know, don't come between a cow and the calf. Well, the cow moved towards us, and we stepped back. Then the calf moved away, and the cow moved back a bit. And as we went to walk around the cow took a charge. And only my sister and I was nimble in her feet. She got away from it, and my wife and myself ran away as well. And we had to give it a wide berth. Eventually, we got past it. And looking back, we could see other people then approaching it. And they refused to go by, and they turned back to walk back around the mountain.
Yeah, it's interesting commentary, Kevin, and very much the commentary, if you don't mind me saying, of someone who I presume would be from the town originally. Are you a city man as opposed to a country man?
Yes, I'm a city man, but I live out in the Cumberland area now.
Yeah, but the reason that I would say that, and this is coming from a country boy, cows will protect their calves. That is a fact. But they will only be a threat to you in a very enclosed space. For example, if you're in a byre and you're trying to take the calf away from the cow, there is a possibility that the cow will dunt you with its head or will raise even its back leg towards you and kick you. That can happen. And sadly, farmers have lost their lives as a result of that. Few and far between are the examples, but it has happened. And this is important to emphasise. I'm not in any way diluting the seriousness of a cow and a calf and what danger you might be facing. But out in the open countryside, that cow will do no more than take a few steps towards you to encourage you to move on your way and stay away from her calf. It's not going to charge at you or chase after you like a raging bull. So the people who would have been coming after you, who would have been afraid to pass that cow, Their fear is unfounded, because the cow will be dictated to by the human. If you put your hands out and you say to a cow in a good country action, shoo, away you go, go on, go on, yo, 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 where are we, go on, yo, yo, woo. You know, that sort of language, they totally understand, and they will turn and they will go. But if you cow town to them, as the man would say, you will find that the cow will assert itself, but it would never chase you to the point that it would stampede you. And I say that because my wife's a bit like you. She's from the town, and she was out in the country once when she was a child, and there was a herd of cows being capped home for milking, and one of them did get a bit obstreperous, and it looked like as if when she was a wee girl the cow was going to come up onto the bonnet of the car. Now, it didn't come up onto the bonnet of the car, but in her mind it probably did, and she finds that hard to cope with when we encounter cows on the road. And I get out and I do my thing with her. I say, where do you see this? Yo, go on, go on. And the cow's way back up the road. But maybe you have to be from the country, Kevin.
Oh, but Frank, I did clap my hand at her and give her a few dunders, and she just didn't look. She didn't budge.
But what did you say? Now, what did you say to the cow?
Oh, shoo, shoo.
Shoo, shoo.
Give her a few yells. Maybe it was the Belfast accent. She didn't recognise it, you know.
Hold on. I'm the cow. Hold on, Kevin. Hold on. I'm the cow. I'm standing here and I've my head sort of down and the calf's off to the right, and I'm looking at you and I'm looking under my eyes at you. Now, and I might be about to take a step forward. Do the shoo-shoo bit.
I go and shoo you, Kevin. I'll not say the other thing to say, Frank. It's on live radio.
Well, you know, don't use any colourful language, but put in some other word instead of that. Shoo-shoo. You.
You brute. Go and shoo-shoo, you brute, you.
Go on, shoo, you brute,
Frank,
you.
That's
like something out of Father Ted. That's no way to cap cattle. Kevin, you need to assert yourself on Black Mountain. Having said that...
I don't want to scare the people in the rest of the office here, Frank. You know, I don't want them all shooing away as well.
I reckon people are at no risk whatsoever. I think they're National Trust cattle that are up on that mountain. Having said that, many's a person is fearful.
Well, it's, you know yourself on the Black Mountain, there's lots of families and all sorts of people that use it. And what I could see was the week before we'd seen a lot of new livestock coming onto the mountain in lorries. Now, the cow probably not used to people walking around or whatever. I don't even know if it was its calf because she looked quite young. So it's just a danger to make people aware of when they're approaching them to give them a wide berth. Or as you say, give them a few shoes.
Yeah, listen, if you're fearful at all, do give them a wide berth because we don't want anyone being injured at all. But a cow generally will take guidance from you if you stand up and assert yourself. Kevin, it's worth pointing out because loads of families go up there and those cattle do cross your path very regularly and they're of a great size and they are intimidating to those who would be fearful of the bovine existence. So it's a very, very good point. Thanks for raising it, Kevin. Thank you.
Not a problem, Frank. Thanks for your time.
Not a bother. There's a very serious side to this, and I touched on it with the farmers in the byer, and sadly, accidents do happen on farms, and people do die. And we've been reminded, and this is one that does come back to my mind, of a woman being badly injured in Fermanagh in a field, when she intervened after a dog disturbed a cow, and there was an incident happened in the field, and she was very close to the cow, and she did get injured. So, you know, it absolutely can happen. Right, but assert yourself. And learn the language as well. 21 minutes past 10 is the time. Good morning to you. 90-333-105. Let me see here on the text and emails. I don't know if you're that familiar with Ballylock. I don't know if you are. Yeah, I'll just look at some of them because I think some of you are way off beam. Where is Ballylock? Okay, it's somewhere in County Down, by the way. So where is Ballylock? And the other issue is Roscommon. Roscommon Gaels. Where do they play out of? Where do they play their Gaelic football from? What part of County Down? Because apparently they're playing each other and it's not a traditional fixture. There wouldn't be much history between those two teams. I was just looking here at Deirdre, who was bitten by a dog and bitten very badly by a dog. Because I think a lot of us were in our lives. I got bitten on the face, still have a scar from it from when I was very young. Foolish thing I did. There was a very elderly man lived near me, and he was actually blind. He had the white stick, and he had lost his sight in the latter years of his life. He was a lovely, lovely man who I used to go to visit occasionally. But when I was a wee fella, I slipped up behind him, and he had his white stick sitting beside him, and I was tiptoeing up and lifted the stick, and his dog was lying beside him, and the dog pounced and bit me in the face. Now, absolute reason for doing it. You could see exactly what the dog thought. It was just like a little nick, but because I was so young, I did indeed get a little scar from it. But I also remember the reaction from, you know, my parents and whatever would never have been that, you know, that dog must be put down. Absolutely, absolutely not. I was doing a foolish thing and, I suffered for short term as a result of it. It could have been much, much worse, of course. But, you know, a considerable number of people do get bitten by dogs. And, you know, you're telling me that you're pointing out the story here of how bad your bite was as well. But also asking the question, do people ever get bitten by anything else? Is it only a dog that really attacks? This on the back of the possibility of a cow attacking someone on Black Mountain. And I'll throw that question out to you. You know, have you ever actually been bitten by something other than a dog? 028-90-333-105. I can also tell you about a hornet. Oh, jeepers, they can bite. Ooh! Went to Portugal. I was riding a little motor scooter along one of the rickety roads in Portugal. And, you know, you've got the shirt open and your chest on show. And you're going... It's like riding a sewing machine. Ooh!
right in the cadoodles. Oh, nip. Oh, what is that? And I looked down and all I could see was my, you know, rippling chest. And in between my nipples was this incredible thing that had just lodged itself. Right. Oh, the pain of it. I can still feel it. And, you know, I managed to negotiate my way across the potholes to, to a wee lay-by at the side of the road and stopped. And then I had to pull it off. Oh, how painful. How painful. Your stories are very welcome. 0289 033 105. Did you ever get a good bite or a sting from anything other than a dog?
Wes has got a point. What's on your mind, Wes?
How you doing, Frank? I was just listening to you there about the dog biting you on the face, and I was just a bit surprised to hear that, you know, your sort of reaction to it was that you were doing something stupid, so therefore you kind of got bit in the face. Personally, I don't think, you know, if a child's being stupid or doing anything, there's a reason for a dog to bite it on the face.
Yeah, you see, I think every single bite has to be judged in the context. And I remember it happening, obviously, because I was the one that was bitten, but I was very young. And I was tiptoeing up behind a blind man. I was about to lift his white stick. Okay, I was very friendly with this elderly man. I often went to visit him. My family went to visit him. But I was lifting his stick, of course, to play with it or whatever, to have a wee prank with him. He would have been more than happy to have participated in the prank, all of that. But he was sitting with his back to me. He didn't know I was there. And the dog pounced the moment I lifted the stick. The dog obviously thought I was going to hit him or do something untoward on this elderly man, and the dog did pin me with a bite on the face. You know, our reaction to it, of course, I wasn't part of the decision-making process, but my family would have looked on it as, you know, gosh, you shouldn't have been sneaking up on the gentleman's back. You should know better than that at even whatever age I was. I think it was only about 4 years of age. But the thing was, you know, I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. If they had have insisted on that dog being put down, I would have looked back now with regret if that dog had been put down.
Yeah, Frank, I don't really mean to judge that, you know, your parents or whoever was looking after you at the time, but I think given the situation, if that was a child of mine, I would have had a different reaction as to the dog's behaviour. You know, you're very generous and understanding, but I don't think that, I certainly can think of a lot of other reasons, you know, going to attack the man or, you know, whatever, that could maybe have a little substance to your argument, but you know, I just think for what you've done, there's no reason that dog should have bit you. It certainly shouldn't have. For, you know, I mean, I don't get it. I really, really don't, Frank. It's just, I'm so far, you know, on the other side of the scale than you on this one.
Yeah, and what would, if, for example, it, Lord forbid it was to happen today to a child that you were responsible for, what would you be calling for in relation to the dog?
Well, I personally would be calling for the dog to not be in the company of children whilst being supervised. That would be that, you know, if a dog was of that nature or you know, that way inclined, I certainly wouldn't want my kids around it, but I would want the owner to be aware of that and therefore not have the dog around children, maybe unless it was on a lead or supervised by the owner, and not in a position where a young child could come up behind it and challenge it or the gentleman, because we know what could possibly happen. Yeah. You know, because I do believe there are plenty of dogs about that a child could come up and lift that man's stick. The dogs would not for any reason bite it on the face, you know. I mean, I know of dogs that, you know, children can bother them and jump about them and this, that and the other, and the dogs wouldn't dream of doing anything like that, you know.
Sure, yeah, I'm listening to you, absolutely. I maybe should say that this is, you know, the circumstances were that the elderly man would have been sitting there. It was like a workshop type thing that he had, and he could do a variety of things. Even though he was very poorly sighted, he could do things with planing wood and whatever. And it was like a workshop environment with a big open garage type door. It was his farm. It was the open countryside. I was the visitor. There were a lot of things that allowed him to have his dog lying by his side, but the dog,
yeah,
the dog did
different,
bite.
Different circumstances. Yeah, different circumstances. No, I do get the gist of it. And I'm not, I suppose, really, there's not maybe 100% right or wrong answer. I think there's maybe differences of opinions. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, you know, there are people that would maybe say, well, look, you know, you shouldn't have been creeping up on the man. You shouldn't have been doing this. You were doing something you shouldn't have been, like you admitted earlier on. Personally, I don't think there's anything you shouldn't be doing that warrants that. You know what I mean? It's just I just think it's a dangerous dog that does that. And that's just my opinion on it. And, you know, I don't think that dog should be in a position where if a child does something silly or stupid, it gets its face bitten.
Okay. Wes, thank you very much for the commentary on it. Your opinions are very welcome. 0289 033 105. What have you been bitten by or stung by, apart from a wasp or a dog, right? Bitten by a wasp, stung by a dog. Yeah. So you can let us know. 0289 033 105. Seriously, apart from a dog biting you or a wasp stinging you, have you ever had an encounter with any other animal? There's a wee fella called Richard, brackets Dick. I don't know which one he once called, but Richard or Dick, good morning to you. He was bitten by a chicken. Good morning, Dick. How did it bite you? Just a wee peck on the cheek, or was it something nasty? But yes, that's the... I think it's the only suggestion we have here. Let me see. Yeah, a chicken. Oh, no, there's some others there, right? I'll get to these in a moment. If you were, seriously, bitten by an animal that you wouldn't usually associate with putting the pinchers into you, 02890 333 105. Frank, there's a beautiful peacock walking about in Clock in County Down. The neighbours have been ringing Seaford and Mount Panther, but no owners coming forward. It has a purple ring on its left leg. At the moment, it's just off the Castle Welland Road. Could you please tell anyone who may have lost it that it's there? We don't want it to be knocked down. As Christine obviously doesn't want it to be run over. Lovely peacock on the road near Clock in County Down, heading towards Castle Welland. Some of you have been bitten by a variety of things, including wee Mark, who listens to the programme. He says, I've been bitten by the Frank Mitchell show. I like to keep him in check. Lots of love, wee Mark. Mark, good morning to you. I've stung by a bee and bitten by ants, all my own fault for provoking them, says Bob in Andytown. And Frank, I've been bitten by a snake and a cat, and a horse can give you a right nip as well, Steve in Maherlin. And good morning, Frank, from Dubai. Misty Dubai this morning, or it's actually 2 p.m. in the afternoon. It was probably 2:30 in the afternoon now. 38 degrees. George and Dan in Belfast, or from Belfast, enjoying misty Dubai. George and Dan, good morning to you. Good morning, Dubai. Good morning, Kevin, who's been bitten. What bit you, Kevin?
Well, I've been bitten by a number of things, Frank. But the one that immediately sprang to mind was being bitten on the back of the leg by a sow.
That would be a sore thing. Were you in the piggery?
I was in the piggery. I was feeding and cleaning out the pens. And you would go into the pen and put the food into the trough and a bucket of water. And then while the pigs were eating, you'd sweep out the old straw and the muck and put fresh straw down. So I was sweeping her out, and she came up behind me and bit me on the back of the leg. I can tell you I bounced around the sty for a wee bit, you know.
And do they have sharp teeth, pigs?
I'll tell you what, there's a queer poundage in their bite, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you get the impression that they're more sort of gubby than they are toothy. You know, you know, you're doing that sort of thing, you know, you don't really imagine a pig is giving you a smile, but he could give you a queer suck.
Yeah, well, perhaps as a piglet, they'll give you a queer suck, but not an adult, sorry.
So they've good dentures in them.
Oh, aye.
And put you off, Kevin, working on farms, or do you still do it?
No, I don't do it now. These were sort of school jobs, if you like, you know, the summer holidays and the weekends, you got to earn a buck.
Yeah, and back in the day, like, you wouldn't have been suing the farmer just because the sow bit you.
Ah, absolutely not. So, it was occupational hazard, you know.
Totally. It would go with the flow. Kevin, thank you indeed. I feel a bit of praise coming on, and we're going to get to that in a moment. Not praise of me, but praise of hardworking staff. And they're in line for a pat on the back after Hugh makes his point. Go ahead, Hugh.
Well, I just listened to one of your callers in relation to, he wasn't, when you said about the child, about, sorry, the dog biting you on the face, he was trying to say that this biting you on the face cannot be justified in any shape or form, and that's what you seem to be getting at. You know, I think that's a think tank, and that's how dogs sometimes get bad press. I'm a dog owner, and I've owned quite a number of large breeds like Rottweilers. I have now Newfoundlands. But, you know, the aspect is that he was trying to say a child can do whatever it wants to the dog doesn't need to respond. And that's unfair, I think, very unfair, because a dog will protect itself. It will protect its property and protect its owner, and that's what it is.
He also said, however, Hugh, a lot of dogs wouldn't have jumped forward the way the dog that bit me did all those years ago. A dog might growl or a dog might scamper towards you, but this one just sprung from a lying position to pinning me to the floor because it thought I was going to attack its elderly owner. Having said that, a lot of other dogs could get you offside without actually putting the gnashers into you.
But frankly, the other alternative is that I think you have to take in the actual scenario of that particular case. Because what happened there was, you got a gentleman who was disabled, a dog who was probably trained to go with him on a white stick, and all that dog was doing was protecting either the instrument the gentleman was using as a means of mobility, or indeed protecting its owner. Because it's seen you coming up from position. Now, if you'd have came a different position where the dog had a view of you coming into sight, and then had known you, that's a different situation. But coming from behind the gentleman is where the aspect of the protection comes in, I think.
Yeah, I understand totally what you're saying. That's what my parents thought at the time as well. I was totally sneaking up on the elderly man. You know, I was tiptoeing up to lift his white stick. But boy, did I learn a painful lesson. Hugh, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Alison is head of praise this morning. She's on the line. Good morning, Alison.
Good morning, Frank.
There's somebody that you want to thank, Alison.
Ulster Bus, the two drivers that helped me out last Thursday. I had to go up the town and I use a powered wheelchair. The bus arrived, but the lady driver, she couldn't get the ramp released. So she didn't want to leave me sitting because it was cold. And she said, no, I'll phone it in. She phoned it in and got another bus to come for me. Whole bus to myself.
That's very, very, very thoughtful. What part of the world were you in, Alison?
Lurgan.
So you're waiting on a bus in Lurgan. You're using a motorised wheelchair. The lady driver comes along. She can't get the ramp to work. She lifts the phone and she rings a bus to come just for you. Now, the negative side is the ramp should work on the bus. But that aside... Yeah. And, you know, things can go wrong. That was exceptionally thoughtful.
The staff were absolutely brilliant. It was. The staff were brilliant. I can't knock them at all.
Well, I tell you, neither am I going to knock them. I'm going to praise them because very often you do get negativity about bus drivers and the attitude of a bus driver. But this woman driving the bus, from where to where? Where would she been going? What time? What day?
It was the town bus, and it was the 20 to 10 one. So it should have been taking me from Tegnavon up the town, but she couldn't get the ramp to work, so she actually organised for another bus to pick me up.
Well, I like her style.
And those drivers were absolutely lovely.
And I really appreciate you getting in touch with us, Alison, because people who go the extra mile to help and assist and to have a bit of thought and a bit of respect for the customer, they deserve a bit of praise in public. So thanks for the call, Alison. Thank you.
No, thank you for letting me say thanks to them.
Not a bother at all. That's Alison Ruddy in Lurgan. And Ms. Ulster Bus, thank you very much. People organising Ulster Bus who sent out the additional bus, thank you very much as well. Maybe, just maybe, the owl ramp, if you could have a look at them so as they work, that would be a big help. But in terms of courtesy regarding the customer, you cannot be faulted whatsoever. Take a bow, TransLink. Thomas is on this line. Good morning, Thomas.
Hello, Frank. Frank, I don't know whether this is a funny story or not, but a horse bit my son about 15 years ago up in Lady Dixon. Hello?
Yeah, yeah. In Lady Dixon, a horse that someone was riding?
No, 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 no. We were walking down towards the river, just by the cottage, and he ran on in front of me. And the horse was over at the verge. Anyway, it was feeding at the trough, and my son ran down, Tomas, and he grabbed a lot of grass there from the verge and started feeding the horse. Well, the horse started munching on the grass, and as the grass got shorter and shorter, his hand went into his mouth.
Ooh.
And of course, he was crying. The horse was munching on his wee hand anyway, but he wasn't hurt too bad, whatever. But when I got down, his hand was inside the horse's mouth. So I thought it was Mungo out of Blazing Saddles, and I hit the horse a mighty thump in the side of the head to release his hand. It was like hitting a brick wall, Frank. I almost broke my hand there beside it. Now, I'm not cruel to animals or anything, but I needed to get my son's hand out of the horse's mouth. Horse wasn't hurt at all, like, but there you go.
And did the horse not leave go of his hand?
No, he didn't. No, he had my son was only about 2 or 3 at the time, and he had run on in front of me, but the horse, he was munching on his hand. He got a couple of stitches.
Ah.
On the side of his thumb, like, but I mean, it wasn't the horse's fault or anything like that. The horse wasn't being, you know, there was no issue or anything like that there. But I needed to get this hand out of his mouth, so there you go.
Have you ever given sugar cubes or anything to a horse? Have you ever fed a horse from the palm of your hand? They can treat your hand very gently. There's something about a horse that they're a very understanding animal when it comes to, you know, the ability that their teeth would have. Most of them would tend to know how to handle a hand without actually using those incredibly strong teeth.
Yes, I know. But my fear at the time was that obviously he was going to take his hand off. Now, because he'd run on in front of me, now his wee hand just went straight into his mouth and he was munching on him. And I didn't even have time. If we had had time, you know, we would have shown him how to feed the horse properly. But you know, it was just one of those things or whatever. But anyway, there was no damage done. The child was all right, and I think the horse was okay too. I didn't knock it out, Frank.
You're not that strong, but I totally understand. Jeepers, your 3-year-old's hands inside a horse's mouth. You'll hit the horse a slap, understandably. I think Colin got bitten by a horse. Just be careful how I say this. Yes, Colin, go ahead.
Oh, I was about 7 or 8, so I was, and was down in Malile. A couple of horses were in a field there, just down from the Chippy in Malile, and my sister. She was going to feed the horse, but she kept on pulling it away because she's afraid of it. I said, give me that there. I held it in the front of my hand, held it out there nicely for her to take it off. He said, and the horse just bit my 4 fingers and took the sugar lump or whatever it was as well. So he took the sugar lump and my 4 fingers. Now, there was bruising on my fingers, but that was all. But certainly it was something that I'll always remember.
Yeah, they have very strong, large teeth, horses. Of course, a horse's teeth are always a talking point about the age and whatever, but their teeth, they're like small, like granite almost. They're that hard and prominent, the teeth on a horse.
Yeah, they certainly are. I felt it that day. I was a very, very white shade of peel, so it was by the time I got away from it.
What age of a cub were you then?
I called my sister, three names as well. I was about 7 or 8, so it was. I remember we were down playing tennis and all that stuff. So we're down in my life just on the family holiday when I was 8, you know, so that was nearly a good 49 years ago.
It's amazing how we behaved. Our children more conscious now of danger, between me walking up to the man and lifting his white stick and the dog biting me, or, you know, Colin putting his 4 fingers into the horse's mouth. Well, then the example there in Lady Dixon Park from the I think Tomas was a more recent one. But there, you know, children will, and it's just our mindset, isn't it? We'll, as kids, you just dash on and you learn by your mistakes. Let me speak to Mark, who's on line 3. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Mark, go ahead.
Frank, you're going on about being bit by something other than a dog.
Yes, well, you know, it's mainly dogs that bite people, but we found out this morning that you can also be bitten by sows, snakes and horses. So what bit you?
I was bit by my boss, the person I work for, believe it or not.
as in a row, in a fight?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a fight. He was trying to get into the work van, you know, in the side door of the work van. You know the way it slides. I was holding on to the handle of the work van. He was trying to open it. I was trying to close it. And the only way he could get my hand off the door is by biting me. So he bit me in the back of the hand.
And, you know, obviously I don't want to know his name or what sort of job you were doing, but, you know, was it was it tomfoolery, or was he just a very impatient boss?
Oh, he was worst of the worst. You know, he's renowned around the area where I work and where I live. You know, his reputation precedes him. It ended up going to court and he was done for assault.
All right, so you got your settlement with him. Dear, oh dear, that's a violent streak. Nothing funny about that at all. Gee, we're so desperate to work for a boy like that. Mark, thank you. Phil, have you ever been bitten, Phil?
Well, Frank, what about you?
All is good,
Frank,
Phil.
I have been bit a few times, Phil, but I haven't been talking about horses there. I was walking down the yard one evening by an old horse was standing in the tree out and it stuck its foot in me.
I presume that would be its shoe.
Well, I suppose it had no boots on the field with me even dry. Well, hereby, I wasn't a bit impressed, so I just turned around and stuck my boot back into them.
You did not. A horse kicked you and you kicked the horse back.
Well, Frank, you know the old saying, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
I know, but Phil...
I was minding my own business walking down the field and that horse had no warrant kicking me, so I just kicked him back.
Phil, this is not recommended. This is a dumb animal that threw out its hoof and, you know, caught you on wherever it caught you. But, you know, should you not have, you know, stood a few steps back and maybe addressed it in a mannerly way and say, listen, horse, don't do that again, or that's the wrong thing to do? But once you cross the line by kicking it, do you not lower yourself to the level of a dumb animal?
Well, I did take two steps back, Frank, just to get a good kick back at it.
Desperate man. He's from the country. But that's sometimes what people do when they lose the reg. Please don't kick your animals, no matter how much they annoy you. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. That's incredible, the things that are biting you. Hello to Claire, by the way, who's listening to the programme. Claire, good morning to you. Quite a few of you in favour of or standing up for the old dog all those years ago who bit me. Frank, when I was young, my parents took me to Smithfield Pet Market. I was bitten by a rabbit. My finger bled. I cried my eyes out, says Mickey. Someone was bitten by a wee monkey at the circus in Green Island 40 years ago. Bitten by a mosquito in Nigeria. I was in hospital with malaria, says a guy in Bangor. I don't know the name, but I'm not going to read out the nickname in case that's someone who's pulling a leg. And Frank, I was bitten a few times by a ragworm. Ragworms, I think Liam's available to speak to us about this. Seriously, Liam?
Yeah, hello, Frank. What about you, mate? Frank, yes, I do a lot of fishing. And I don't know if you've ever seen a ragworm before. But what the ragworm does, it has two like pincers that come out of the head of it. Now these pinch right into your skin, and this like literally lodge into your skin. And so pulling them off is it's not for the faint-hearted. So it's not. But I do a lot of fishing, and you know you get bit regularly with these things. But give you a nasty bait for all the size of them.
Where do you get the ragworms, Liam?
I dig along Belfast Lough, any long lough, sure, Frank. They're big, massive things now, these ragworms. If you do a wee quick Google search on them, you'll see the actual pincers on them now.
And how much different are they from the general brown worm that you'd see in the garden? The earthworm?
Oh, there's a big difference. Yeah, just for the common earthworm. Yeah, they don't bite at all, them ones. These ragworms, they can be huge, they can be small, but each and every one of them have pincers, because once you put these ragworms on your hook with a go fishing, you will automatically see, because they have to go in through the head first, you'll automatically see the two black pincers coming out. Now, they're hidden within the worm, but they'll give you a nasty bite if they catch you.
And they have loads and loads of wee legs on them, these boys. I'm looking at a picture here.
Yes, it's like it's basically like a centipede, Frank. You know, and the way it looks, but looks can be deceiving. See, once these bad boys here get a hold of you, you know all about it.
Yeah, but you're going to be pretty cruel to it. You're going to put a hook into it, aren't you, and then dabble it in the water.
I know, true enough. Like,
yeah, you deserve every bite you get.
I deserve everything I get, Frank, you know. But a lot of, most of the fishermen use them, so they do, for doing that fishing, you know.
And what do you catch with them?
Well, it's basically using for sea fishing, you know. All depends. Mackerel, they come in the mackerel season. You know, cod, you know, basically eels, you know, there's a lot of eel fishermen, even in Loch Dane, that's fresh water. They would use a lot of ragworms, sort of would.
Liam, something I did years ago, I used to fish for trout with a couple of friends of mine who were, you know, friends of my dad's, really, and I thoroughly loved it, but I've lost all sort of track of fishing, which is, I think, the most popular sport in Northern Ireland, but I hate the idea of using live bait like that. But Liam, thank you. From the list, monkeys, seals, mosquitoes, swans, there's someone bitten by a swan, indeed snakes, rabbits, rats, foxes, ferrets, hamsters, and even a baby crocodile all came up on the list of mentions this morning.